Brother Larry, you come.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We are dealing with those three words, actually two words, the called or them the called, three words, in the latter part of this verse. Listen, folks, this has been in the book all the time.
Amen.
I'm not telling you anything new. This is in my book. Been there all the time. We just haven't paid any attention to it. We read through it, and we believe it. Surely we believe it. But we really haven't dug into it enough to realize that God means what he says.
Amen.
And all things, good things, bad things, in-between things, things that we think are horrible, God turns them to our benefit and his glory.
Amen.
Because we're his children. Because we belong to him.
Amen.
The only reason it happens is because we're his children. And because we're his children, he has our benefit and heart. And when these things come to pass, God knew this yesterday.
Amen.
Here's where we need to learn. And folks from Florida call me all the time, Brother Larry, I appreciate that you taught us that God is in control. God knew this yesterday. God knew it all along. You'll never come upon anything that God didn't know long before you ever got there.
Yes, sir.
And he was already there, had already worked out the circumstances. All you got to do is just stand by and watch what happens.
Amen.
When you learn to believe God in such a manner, then you'll get to the point to where when you come into a circumstance that you look like, or it looks like it's going to destroy you, just wait and see what God's fixing to do. Because he's fixing to bring you through this thing, and you look back at it and say, why did I ever doubt to begin with?
Amen?
So we're looking at this thought, them that love God. And we're talking about some things that those who do love God are guilty of. Things we're to do as the child of God. Last week, some controversy arose, I think, over the reality of Hebrews chapter number 10. But let me tell you this. Hebrews chapter number 10 means what it says. We're not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together.
Amen.
That all came from chapter number 20 of the book of Exodus, verse number 8, when God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep. The letter K. Remember, we're in the alphabet. The letter K. Keep it holy.
Amen.
And we've done everything but keep it holy. If Sunday's holy, you tell me where. Maybe in a church somewhere once in a while, but for the most part, Sunday is not holy.
Amen.
Now, I reminded us last week that we are not Jews, so we're not celebrating a Sabbath. We're celebrating the first day of the week, which recognizes the resurrection.
Yes.
We serve a risen Lord.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
And so on the first day of the week, we as God's children are to meet together under the letter K. I'm not going to rehash that. I just wanted to say that again. And if you'll take time to read that chapter, just run down to about verse number 23 of chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews and read through there. And you'll see that there is a great sin involved in failing to honor the Lord's day.
Amen.
When you figure that out, you'll be in the house of God.
Amen.
When you ought to be in the house of God.
Amen.
So we come tonight. Now, after the letter K comes the letter L, right? In my alphabet it does. That's what they taught me. So tonight we look at the word love. Watch this. Love. A word that involves everything you are. Did you hear what I said? Love involves everything you are. All of your emotions are involved in love. There are two emotions that you have that everything about you gets involved in. One of them is love and the other is hate. If you hate something or you hate someone, which you shouldn't, but once in a while we do, don't we?
Yeah.
Once in a while we do. I mean, people get so sorry and they disappoint us so much so that we just, for a moment at least, we despise what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that word love, there's where we hinge our thoughts at this point. That word love involves all of our emotions. When you love someone, you love someone. It's not a, I love you today and I hate you tomorrow. When we were children in school, all of us have done this, surely. Surely we weren't the only ones that done this, Brother Gary. Write that little note. I love you. Do you love me? Put yes or no. Nowadays, my great-grandchildren are telling me they're dating. I mean, they talk to somebody at school and they're dating. Huh? They're 10 years old and they're talking to somebody at school and they're dating. It's another world, I promise you, than where we were. But we write that little note and say, I love you. Do you love me? Put yes or no. And then if they happen to put no, we'd just write on the bottom of it, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, and send it back to them. You see how quick it changed from love to hate? That wasn't love, was it? Not by any stretch of the imagination. When we love, it involves everything about us.
Yes, sir.
Now, the scripture tells us some things about love. Love the brethren. Here's something that all of us need to learn to do. Listen, your brothers and sisters in Christ are important to you.
Amen.
My mom and dad had four boys. As far as I know tonight, there is not one splinter between any of us. I love them with my heart. And as far as I know, they love me. At least they act like they do when they're around me. Now that's family love. There is a greater love, and that's spiritual love. And we as the household of faith are to love each other even more so. I wonder how many times I've had someone say to me, Brother Larry, my church family is dearer to me than my natural family.
Amen.
That's saying something, isn't it?
Amen.
But there's a lot of folks that don't have much as far as a natural family is concerned. I hurt for those people. I hate that it's that so that way. However, God has given us brothers and sisters within the confines of the house of God that are greater to us and sweeter to us and mean more to us oftentimes than those of our brothers and sisters naturally.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's another kind of relationship. It's a spiritual relationship. We're not looking for anything from each other, but the love that's between us. Love the brethren. The command of God, love the brethren. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 9, we're taught of God to love the brethren. God teaches us to love each other. You see the text? We're taught of God to love each other. And then in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 14, we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Isn't that a good way to find out if your heart's right with God? God puts us a little test in there. Can you pass the test? We know that we've passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. We love those whom God has saved and made a part of the household of faith. Some of the greatest friends I have in this world are people that I see very seldom. And yet when I see them, it is as though we have been together for a lifetime.
Amen.
I go into places across this country and meet people. As a matter of fact, we met a couple, you weren't with me, in Alabama when I and the kids were there back in the summer. They had just came into the church from Ohio. Bless their hearts. Yeah. And I think it was Ohio. I may have that wrong. And this CD will get there probably, and they'll say, hey, he had that wrong. So forgive me if I've got that wrong. However, those folks had just come into the church, and the preacher introduced me to him, and the instant we shook hands, there was that camaraderie. There was that brotherhood. There was that kind of thing that only the Spirit of God can give us. You see, the Spirit of God lets us know that we are the sons of God. Bears witness that we are the sons of God. And when we're the sons of God of the same family, then we love each other. I have heard of churches where people just don't get along. Well, can I tell you something? That's not a church. That's not even a good country club. People need to get along in the house of God. Now, we're all going to have different circumstances. We'll have circumstances that come along in life that perturb us. And believe it or not, you're going to disturb somebody else from time to time. And folks will come to church and they don't feel well. And for some reason or the other, you're busy and you happen to walk by them. And now because they didn't feel well, the devil jumps on their shoulder and says, hey, they don't like you anymore because they didn't stop and talk to you.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
And all of a sudden now you get upset and you think, well, they don't love me. I don't love them either.
Amen.
Get right with God. Get your heart where it ought to be and love one another.
Amen.
The Spirit of God teaches us to love each other. I'd like to spend about a week right here. But when Simon Peter talks about this, he calls it the royal law of love. And the royal law of love is the kind of love that God alone can give. It's an imperial love, meaning that God loves whom he will, and those that he puts in the household of faith love each other. We have the same mother, the same father. The church is our mother.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost births us into the household of faith, and God himself is our father.
Amen.
We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and thusly we're to love each other. God loves us in spite of us.
Amen.
Some years ago, and I say this quite often, I say I love you in spite of you. And we had this gentleman come to church in the church in Florida. And he started out the door. I shook hands with him. And I said, he was a chief petty officer in the Navy, so we had something in common. And I shook his hand and I said, I love you in spite of you. Well, he left there and got to thinking, what does he mean? What's the matter with me? And he said, I stayed out of church for weeks and just let that bother me. And he said, I just couldn't stay away, so I came back. And he said, the next Sunday I started out of church and you shook hands with a fellow in front of me and said, I love you in spite of you.
Amen.
And he said, all of that went away and I realized you say that to everybody. It's strange, isn't it, how the devil causes things to come between us and we get to thinking, boy, that person doesn't love me.
Amen.
But listen, the love of Christ in our hearts supersedes the love of a mama and a daddy in this world.
Amen.
Supersedes the love of a child for his mother. I'm telling you something, listen to me. God's children are so in love with each other that it supersedes any natural love known to mankind. Because it's God's love. It's that supernatural love that reaches beyond the bounds of anything we know in the natural realm.
Amen.
So then the disappointments and the heartaches and the things and the times that we walk by each other and don't speak to each other just go away because, hey, we love each other.
Amen.
And the things that we would normally dislike in people. I've met some people before God, I thought, how in the world could mama love somebody like that? You'd think that their mama put them out on the doorstep when they was born and they just had to make it on their own. But you learn to love folks like that because they're brothers and sisters in Christ and you love them so deeply that you feel everything they feel and your heart hurts when theirs hurts and you rejoice when they rejoice. Why? Because we're in the family and we love each other. So the Word of God teaches us that we're to love each other. As a child of God, if we're one of those who are the called according to His purpose, then we are to love each other. I've often said that my personality is like the backside of a wedge. I don't understand how people could ever love me. But every once in a while somebody said, Brother Larry, I love you. That's encouraging. My wife tells me that. Once in a while. Sometimes she'll write me a little note and say, I love you. Well, sometimes I doubt it. But anyhow, it's good to hear that, isn't it? It's good to see that. It's good to know that somebody loves you. I don't care how macho you are, you want to hear once in a while, I love you.
Amen.
I love you. And it ought to be real. Are you listening to me? It needs to be real, not something just cocked up to say at that moment, hey, I love you, and I love you with the heart that Jesus gave me to love you with.
Amen.
Now listen to me. You can't love everybody you meet naturally, but you can do it supernaturally.
Amen.
You can love folks that have the worst stinking temperament in God's earth. Now listen, I've met some folks, I preached to folks for years that had the kind of temperament and they just had that kind of a rub about them that seemed like nobody could love them. But you learn to love them.
Amen.
Because of who they were. They were a child of God.
Yeah.
Huh? And you overlooked all that stuff and loved them. I'm going to call his name George Thrift. This fella was probably one of the worst personalities that God ever let breathe air. Really. I mean, you couldn't be around. He would offend you in just a minute just being around him. He'd say something to offend you. But he loved the Lord. He had a heart that looked to God time and time again. And I'd talk to him and say, George, why in the world? Why don't you just keep your mouth shut once in a while? But he wouldn't do it. But you learn to love him.
Amen.
Because of who he was. And I promise you right now, my family loved him. My boy worked for him for a while. We loved him, thought the world of him. But he was so obnoxious. Love each other. Just learn to love each other. Now I want to get to this and preach to you for a few moments and we go to the house.
Amen.
Under the letter M, meditate. Meditate in the Word of God. In Psalm chapter 1, the Scripture gives us a picture of a righteous man, a godly man. And in verse number 2, it speaks about meditating in his law day and night. Meditating in the law of God day and night. Now, meditating goes far beyond reading. As a matter of fact, it goes beyond studying. Meditating means that you pick out this word and just mull it over in your mind. It is equated with the cow chewing the cud. You see, that cow goes out in the morning when it's cool and eats that grass and puts it into a stomach. And then that cow walks over under the shade tree when the sun starts coming up and regurgitates that grass and stands there for hours meditating. Boy, how good this is. I'm glad I got this mouth full a few minutes ago. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That's the equation to meditate. Ruminating where the cow's concerned, meditating where we're concerned. We read the Word of God. We look at the Word of God and pick out something and meditate on that all day long. God said something there. And when those verses come alive in our heart, and they do. God brings them back from time to time and gives us something that we can live on, something we can digest and grow on, because it's the Word of God.
Amen.
Meditate on the good things of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse actually 13 and following, again, Paul speaks to Timothy and says he's to meditate on the things of God, the good Word of God. If we could just get in our heads, and we'll never be able to do this, but if we could ever get in our heads the fact that meditation is a calming thing,
amen,
we could do away with our nerve pills. Honestly,
amen,
just take time to meditate. Listen, I guarantee you that the average saint doesn't meditate 30 seconds a day.
Amen.
And you can't meditate in 30 seconds. It takes that long just to sit down or try to find a spot where you can get away from everything around you. But meditation means that you've come aside alone with God, you're thinking on His Word, and the most calming thing in the world is the Holy Ghost teaching you day by day.
Amen.
Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It's an amazing thing how that calms your nerves. Psychiatrists would go out of business. Psychologists would have to change their field. Nerve pills would gather up on the shelves in the pharmacies and never have to go out the window. If God's people, I'm not talking about the world now, they don't know what peace is. But when God's people begin to meditate on the things of God, the good things that God's done for you, you could meditate the rest of your life. I don't care what your age is. You could meditate the rest of your life on the things that God's done for you that are good just today. Have you thought about your traversing from your hacienda to the house of God tonight? Now, some of you didn't come far. We drive about 40 minutes to get here every service. And every time there's something that could have deterred our efforts to get here. But God supersedes. Are you listening to me? I can just sit back and thank the Lord for a safe journey. Now, we've made that trip 3 times already today. Before this night's over, we'll make it 4 times.
Amen.
The Lord willing. But in that traversing just that amount of time, God spared us.
Amen.
Time and time again. What do I need to do about that? I don't need to just say, thank you, Lord, but I need to meditate on the fact that God fixed this thing before I got there. It's an amazing thing how when things happen in our lives, we meditate on the crash rather than on the circumstances that gets us through it. Huh?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. We deal rather with the circumstance of the intersection rather than the beyond the intersection. You see, God was there beforehand and is thereafter as well as while it's taking place. When a crisis comes in your life, you remember that God was there before it ever happened. And God's going to take you through that thing because you're His child. and it may not be the way you'd like it to be. Can I tell you that there have been many times in my life that things have happened contrary to what I wanted to happen? But can I tell you, when I look back at those things, I rejoice in the fact that God had it there for my benefit and for His glory. And that's a hard lesson sometimes, preacher, to learn. It's a hard lesson to learn that God really does have everything in control. And those things about us that seem to be disastrous are really beneficial. It's kind of like mama trying to get you to eat your vegetables. And you want banana pudding. Mama says, eat the vegetables. You see, mama knows what's best for us. So you eat the vegetables, and then mama blesses you with the banana pudding. God does us the same way. We do what God would have us to do. Recognize that God is helping us through these circumstances. Let me just take that back. God has taken us through these circumstances. You've all heard the little account of the individual who is talking to God and saying, God, I sure needed your help yesterday. But when I was walking through that valley, all I saw was one set of footprints. Where were you? And God said, I was carrying you. I was carrying you.
Amen.
Glory.
Yes.
You see, so often we forget that. We forget that in the midst of our troubles, God is carrying us through these things. Glory, hallelujah. Learn to thank God and meditate on the things that God does for you day by day. Listen, you don't breathe unless God gives you the air.
Amen.
That little electrical current that leaves your brain and causes your heart to beat doesn't work unless God causes it to work. The blood doesn't flow through your veins unless God causes your heart to beat. The breath doesn't enter your lungs unless God causes it to do so. Oh, we need to meditate on the things that God does for us that we take for granted and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I was talking to Tony this morning. He'd just gone through this Wuhan virus, and he said, it doesn't make any difference how big a man you are. He said, when you can't breathe, it becomes a crisis.
Amen.
And he said, I thank God I can breathe today.
Amen.
You ought to thank God you can breathe. If I took time tonight just to give you a few examples, we'd be here till midnight. But just to say how good God's been to me, as I look at others. The night God saved me, there were two boys beside me in the choir. We're in the bass row in the choir, Union Baptist Church in Hampton, Tennessee. God saved me that night. There was a boy on either side of me. I'll not call their name, but a boy on either side of me. Both of those boys, as far as I know, stepped out to meet God unprepared. But God saved me. Now, why didn't he get them? You say, well, he ought to. Well, that's God's business. It's not mine. But I'll tell you one thing. It sure causes me to be grateful.
Amen.
Huh? Muchly so. One of those boys joined the service and died within a week after he was there. And the other died in a car wreck. And as far as I know, neither one of them ever came to know Jesus. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
I could stay right there and meditate on that blessing for the rest of my days. Just saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Meditate on the good things of God. Hey, you'll never run out of things to meditate on. I promise you that. You'll never get tired of meditating. You'll never get tired of saying, Lord, I'm glad that happened in my life. What we do, we allow our minds to wander, get hither, thither, and yon. And we think about the garbage in our lives more than we think about the glory.
Right.
Oh, God clear our minds and let us meditate on the glory. Amen.